Hello everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Employment Matters, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Philippe Durand, partner with Auguste de Bouzy in France. On the program, we span the globe and receive updates on critical issues from ELA members in each region. Today's topic for this podcast is the implementation in the Netherlands of the EU 2019 Directive on Whistleblowing. More specifically, on 24 January 2023, that is to say quite recently, the Dutch Senate approved the new Whistleblowers Protection Act, and on 18 February, the Act partially came into force. The new law introduces new and more protective measures for employees in the public and private sectors who may from time to time report presumed wrongdoings. Today, we are connecting with our member firm in the Netherlands to learn more about this new piece of legislation. Joining us on the program is Lucine Meyers. Lucine is a lawyer with Bontier Advocaten, and Lucine will be with us to summarize for us the differences between this new and old whistleblowing legislation, and she will also address some of the do's and don'ts that employers must consider with this new statute. Lucine, welcome to this program. It's a pleasure having you today. How are you doing?
Well, many thanks for having me. I'm doing good, actually. I'm very happy that we are heading towards spring. The sun breaks through and you can already hear the birds singing. So yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Excellent. So let's start with, if you would agree with that, some kind of background, Lucine, that you could provide our audience today about this new Whistleblowers Protection Act I was just referring to.
Yes. Let me start with where we come from. The Dutch Whistleblowers Authority Act came into effect on 1 July 2016. And this act obliges all organizations with at least 50 people working in organization to introduce an internal reporting procedure to allow any suspected misconduct to be reported. This is also called the so-called whistleblower scheme. And this act prohibits the disadvantaging of employees as a result of properly reporting misconduct. And in order to improve the protection of whistleblowers, on 23 October 2019, the European Directive on the Protection of Persons Who Report Breaches of Union Law was introduced. And in relation to the implementation of that directive, a bill was submitted to the House of Representatives on 1 June 2021. And that's the bill containing the Whistleblowers Protection Act. And actually, this directive had to be implemented into Dutch law by 17 December 2021, but the Netherlands failed to meet this deadline. And after much criticism, the initial bill was amended on several occasions. And eventually, on 24 January of this year, the Senate approved the Whistleblowers Protection Act. And at first, it was unclear when exactly the Whistleblowers Protection Act would come into force. It was only certain that employers with 50 to 249 employees have until 17 December of this year to adapt or amend their internal reporting procedure. But on 17 February of this year, it has been announced that the act already partially entered into force on 18 February, so the next day.
Well, Lucine, I think I would probably like to come back to the small size companies you were talking about, because this is a hot topic for many people in our audience, I'm sure. And also, I would like to add that you should not worry too much about the Netherlands being late in the implementation of this directive. France was late, maybe a bit less than the Netherlands, and many EU jurisdictions were late anyway. But coming back to this process, this implementation at the very end of the process, I mean, it seems to have been pretty quick and fast, actually.
Yeah, it is. The immediate implementation is quite striking and exceptional, but the Dutch minister considers it necessary due to the ultimate implementation date of the whistleblowing directive, being exceeded since 17 December 2021. And for this reason, the Whistleblower Protection Act entered into force immediately. And this in contrast to Belgium, for example, where employers have been given almost 2 months to comply with the respective implementation law after publication of the effective date. And as a consequence, large employers with more than 250 employees must comply with the Whistleblowers Protection Act with immediate effect. In addition, there are also certain employers in the fields of financial services, transport, or environment who must also comply with the Whistleblowers Protection Act with immediate effect, regardless of the number of employees. So even if they have less than 50 people working in the organization. And the directive contains a list which specifies exactly which employers are covered. But for small employers with 50 to 249 employees, the date of 17 December of this year to comply with the Act does remain, except in cases it concerns an employer in the fields of financial services, transport, or environment, as listed in the directive.
This quick implementation is certainly keen for Dutch companies, and even though it probably makes Dutch companies and Dutch lawyers' life a bit more difficult. In the first comment you were making, Lucine, I did pick up that we started with an authority act, which had been put in place in 2016. Now we are talking about the Protective Act of 2023. So we are moving from one piece of legislation to another one. How would you compare the two pieces, actually?
Well, on the basis of the Whistleblowers Authority Act, a suspicion of misconduct can be reported if, in short, this suspicion is based on reasonable grounds and if the public interest is at stake. And what you see under the Whistleblowers Protection Act is a violation or a threat of violation of union law has been added to the definition of misconduct. Also, a violation or threat of violation of a statutory provision or internal rules containing an obligation pursuant to a statutory provision is now also a misconduct, as well as a danger to public health, to the safety of persons, to the deterioration of the environment, or to the proper functioning of the public service or an enterprise as a result of improper conduct or failure to act. It should be noted that in cases where there is no violation of union law, public interest must be at stake. And this is the case if the act or omission has a structural character or if the act or omission is serious and substantial. For example, if an employee has a conflict with his employer, in principle, this does not in itself constitute a misconduct. There really must be a public interest at stake.
So Dutch law, I should say, went beyond, slightly beyond a mere breach of legislation. That's very clear. You also stress that in that case, public interest must be shown. That's a test that must be carried out. Very clear. But you also seem to say, Lucine, that this definition, this terminology of misconduct has actually been adjusted or even enlarged or widened under the new act. Is that correct?
Yes. There's a little bit of, some people say it is broader, the definition. Some say it has been made smaller. You can see that it has been broadened. And also the new act extended the circle of protected persons from employees to all kinds of other persons who have had dealings with the employer in a work-related context. So under the Whistleblowers Authority Act, the circle of protected persons were only employees and officials. But now also persons who perform activities for an employer on other grounds, such as self-employed persons, shareholders, volunteers, and involved third parties, even like family members, are protected. And this means that a larger group of persons can now enjoy protection from disadvantage if they report a suspected misconduct. But it's good to be aware that there really needs to be a work-related context. This includes future, current, or past work-related activities through which, regardless of the nature of that work, individuals may obtain information about misconduct and where those individuals may face harm if they were to report such information. So also job applicants and former employees are included in the circle of protected persons.
Like in many EU jurisdictions, I think that this move that the Netherlands has taken is is to broaden the scope of potential people who could be protected under the Dutch legislation. France went about the same way. Although I have to say, Lucine, that in the example you were giving, self-employed people, shareholders, you mentioned, family members, job applicants, former employees, that's quite broad. So in practice, does that mean that all those people can report potentially suspected misconduct to the employer, as long as we have this work-related environment context you were referring to?
That's not necessarily the case. In particular, the circle of protected persons means that they will be protected from harm in case they report a misconduct. But the employer's internal procedure does not necessarily apply to this entire group. In fact, the obligation to have an internal reporting procedure only relates to employees. And if you look at the definition of employee under the Whistleblowers Protection Act, it states that, in short, it must be a person who performs work under an employment contract or public law appointment, or who otherwise performs work for remuneration in a subordination relationship. And it follows from the legislative history that this group includes employees, officials, but also trainees and volunteers, insofar as they receive remuneration for their work. And under circumstances, self-employed persons may also fall under this definition in case there's a bogus self-employment. And considering this definition of employee, it's also good to be aware that employers employing at least 50 employees, so including volunteers and trainees, and in some cases, self-employed persons, are obliged to establish an internal reporting procedure. And because of the broad definition of employee, the minimum number of 50 employees can be met more quickly, as a result of which the employer may be required to establish an internal reporting procedure more quickly as well.
So to be very clear with our audience seeing today, can we say that the only persons who fall under the definition of employee, the way you portrayed that category, those only that category of people, employee, can use that internal reporting procedure you were talking about? Is that true?
Well, yes, but it does not mean that externals, so for example, such as a shareholder or a job applicant, will no longer be able to report at all if they suspect a misconduct at an employer's organization. In fact, externals do still have the option of making an external report to a competent authority, as long as the report is made in the context of work-related activities. So a supplier can still make an external report to a competent authority. And given this, it is imaginable that employers would prefer that externals make a report internally first before possibly going public with it. And in that case, the employer might choose to open their internal reporting procedure for externals as well, even though the employer is not obliged to do so by law. However, should the employer open up its internal reporting procedure to externals, the employer needs to be aware that this internal reporting procedure must meet the same requirements as the internal reporting procedure applicable to employees.
So you were just precisely talking about those requirements for the that would apply to the to this internal reporting procedure. Many EU jurisdictions have put some specific conditions, some safeguards as well. What is the situation in your new legislation in the Netherlands? What are the requirements that would apply to this internal reporting procedure?
The internal reporting procedure must state how the internal report is handled when there is a suspicion of misconduct and the possibility for an employee to consult a counselor in confidence. Further, the internal reporting procedure must include the manner in which the whistleblower can report. And this, in any case, can be in writing, orally via telephone or other voice messaging systems, or at employee's request within a reasonable time by means of an interview on location. And also, the internal reporting procedure must include to which designated independent officers the report may be made and which independent officers may carefully follow up on that report. And then the whistleblower must receive from the employer also an acknowledgement of receipt within 7 days of receiving a report. And this should also be written in the procedure. It should also be written in the procedure that within a reasonable period of a maximum of 3 months, After sending the acknowledgement of receipt, the whistleblower is provided with information on the assessment and, if applicable, a follow-up of this report.
Wow, that's quite detailed. I was even wondering, that's a bit subjective comment, of course, but I was wondering whether it wouldn't be even too cumbersome and thinking about the employers or HR people in our audience today. That's quite a list. So do you have any other requirements to be satisfied or not?
Yeah. That's okay. Not even all of it. The employer also has a duty of information towards the employees. So the employer must inform the employee about internal reporting procedure, the way in which suspected misconduct can be reported externally, as well as the legal protection of the employee when reporting suspected misconduct. Informing can be done in writing, but also electronically. So an employer can also place a link on the internet or a website. There's more, because the employer also must register a notification or receipt in a register set up for that purpose. Should the whistleblower have used a telephone line or other voice messaging system for a report, or made reports via a conversation at an agreed location, the employer records the report by making a recording of the conversation in a durable and retrievable form, or by a complete and accurate written record of the conversation. And in case the report is made by making a recording of the conversation, the employer needs prior consent of the whistleblower. And in case of a complete and accurate written record, the whistleblower is given the opportunity to check the written record, correct it, and also sign it for approval.
Again, as I just said, this is pretty detailed and good to know, of course, to comply with all those conditions and requirements. Before we started this recording, you were telling me, Lucine, that you advise a lot employers about works councils. Of course, when we talk about whistleblowing, and this would be the case in France, a works council would have to be involved somehow. So what would be the role of your works councils in the Netherlands when it comes to drafting this internal reporting procedure?
Well, pursuant to Article 27 of the Works Council Act, the Works Council in principle already has a right of consent regarding the amendment, adoption, or withdrawal of an internal reporting procedure. And an employer is obliged to set up a Works Council if the company employs at least 50 employees. What is new is that the Works Council Act is being amended so that also the employee representation has a right of consent for the establishment of an internal reporting procedure. And if an employer has not set up a Works Council or employee representation and is also not obliged to do so, the consent of more than half of the personnel will suffice, unless the content of the internal reporting procedure is already covered by a collective labor agreement. It's good to know that this substitute consent of the majority of the employees will not suffice if an employer is obliged to establish a works council or employee representation, but no such employees representative body has been established. Because in that case, the interested employees can request the sub-district court to determine that the employer should establish a works council or employee representation, after which internal reporting procedure can then be submitted to the employee's representative body for approval.
This new piece of legislation even gives more powers and more involvement to your works council. Lucine, we usually like being practical in those podcasts, and to be practical precisely. How about sanctions? How about risks? What are the risks a Dutch employer would face if such employer would not comply with the Whistleblowers Protection Act in due course in time?
Yeah, good question. First, an employee may request the sub-district court to order the employer to establish an internal reporting procedure, and also the House of Whistleblowers Investigation Department may impose sanctions on the employer.
I remember that in the introduction, we were talking about a piece of legislation, this Protection Act, that has entered into force in a partial manner, partially, we said. What do we mean by this?
Some parts of the Whistleblower Protection Act will come into force later. Legislation is yet to be established regarding the obligation for employers to also deal with reports that are anonymous, as well as regarding requirements in relation to the independent officer's to whom a suspicion of misconduct can be reported anonymously. Those will come later.
Yeah, we can talk about that a bit later if we have time, yeah. As a French lawyer, we always think about internal reporting line that we were talking about a few seconds ago. Are whistleblowers in the Netherlands under this new legislation we've been talking about since the beginning of our discussion, are they obliged to report internally first?
Whistleblowers no longer have to report on misconduct internally first. Based on the old Whistleblowers Authority Act, the starting point was that an employee was required to make an internal reporting first before being allowed to report externally. But this requirement is dropped in the Whistleblowers Protection Act. So whistleblowers now have the option to report it directly to competent authorities, such as the Whistleblowers Authority, Personal Data Protection Authority, or the Financial Markets Authority. So it's therefore extra important for an employer to have its internal reporting procedure properly in place to encourage that employees will first report internally before going public with reports.
Very good. And I would just say on that, that many EU jurisdictions have followed a very similar pattern, actually. Lucine, earlier on, you were stressing the fact that this Whistleblowers Protection Act in the Netherlands will improve the protection of whistleblowers. Could you elaborate a bit on this?
Where disadvantaging of employees formerly meant only disadvantaging in legal positions, such as suspension, dismissal, demotion, or a wage cut, the ban on disadvantaging whistleblowers will now also include all forms of disadvantaging whistleblowers. So, for instance, the refusal to give recommendations, bullying, intimidation, and exclusion. Further, as we already discussed, the circle of people protected has been expanded to include not only employees and officials, but also volunteers, self-employed persons, shareholders, etc. And whistleblowers who have been disadvantaged will no longer have to prove that they were disadvantaged because of their report. So the burden of proof shifts to the employer. The whistleblower only has to prove that he made a report and that he has been disadvantaged. And the employer will have to prove that the disadvantage is not related to the reporting of the suspected misconduct or violation.
A burden of proof rules are always very good to know when it comes to litigation. If by any chance you will end up in court, this kind of context. I think we have enough time, Lucine, to talk about confidentiality. We were just talking about anonymous reporting. Could you explain for us in a few words, how will the data of the whistleblower be handled in all this process under this new act?
Yeah, sure. Well, anyone who was involved in a report or investigation into suspected misconduct and obtains confidential information is obliged to keep such information confidential, except in case there is like a statutory provision that obliges the person to disclose that information. And information that is confidential shall in any case include information about identity of a whistleblower and also of the person to whom the misconduct is attributed and information that can be traced back to them, and also information concerning a trade secret. And the identity of a whistleblower and information from which the identity of the whistleblower can be directly or indirectly traced will not be disclosed without the whistleblower's consent. And in case there's a legal requirement that requires disclosure of the identity of a whistleblower, the whistleblower shall be notified in advance unless such information could jeopardize the related investigation or judicial proceedings. And upon such notification, a whistleblower shall receive a written explanation of the reasons for the disclosure.
Well, those confidentiality rules, Lucine, make sense because you've got to give some protection to the whistleblowers. Lucine, for my last question, it would be more like a request. Do you think you could share with us a few practical tips for our audience today when it comes to implementing a global whistleblowing procedure in the Netherlands?
It is advised, in any case, to follow the Dutch law when drafting the internal reporting scheme, as it contains several requirements the employer must meet. And in doing so, it is really important to involve the relevant participation bodies in time. Further, it's good to know that under the Whistleblowers Protection Act, employees may report directly to an external reporting entity. So it's therefore extra important for an employer to have its internal reporting procedure properly in place to encourage that employees will first report internally before going public with a report.
Well, Lucine, thank you very much. I think we covered a lot of ground today. This was a pretty comprehensive review of the new Dutch piece of legislation about whistleblowing. You were able to cover practical tips, that was your very last point, sanctions to be aware of, medium-sized companies which are also involved. We talked also about reporting line, that's a critical point, and of course the scope, the exact scope of people who are potentially protected and who can act as whistleblowers. So that was, I think, very, very useful. It's been, Lucine, a very useful and interesting discussion today about this new whistleblowers piece of legislation, the Protection Act, as you call it in the Netherlands. And I'm sure this discussion will be very helpful for attorneys and employers in the Netherlands. Thank you for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you today.
Well, thank you, Philippe, for having me. It was a pleasure to talking to you about the new Whistleblowers Protection Act.
And thank you as well to our listeners for tuning in. If you would like to connect with Lucine, please click on her bio in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law, that's L-A-W. In addition, search the ELA website where you can sign up to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, download white papers, and on-demand content from our online library, or even access the ELA's exclusive Global Employer Handbook. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firm around the globe. I'm Philippe Durand. Thanks for listening.